Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Text number 31. Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. So, please repeat. Tvam eva kalo nimesho jananam ayur lavadi avayavyavai chinoshi kuta sta atma parameshti ajo mahans tvam jivalokasya cha jiva atma tvameva kalo nimesha jananam ayo lava javavyavai shinoshi kutasta atma parameshti ajo mahans tvam jiva lokasya cha jiva atma tvam eva kalo nimesho jananam ayur lava javavya vaishinoshi kutasta atma parameshti ajo mahans tvam jiva lokasya cha jiva atma tvam eva kalo nimesho jananam ayo lava javyavyavai shinoshi kutasta atma parameshti ajo mahans tvam jiva lokasya cha jiva atma tvam you eva, indeed, kalaha, unlimited time, animeshaha, unblinking, jananam, of all living entities, ayuhu, the duration of life, lava adi, consisting of seconds, moments, minutes, and hours. Moments, minutes, and hours. Avyayavyai, by different parts. Shinoshi, reduce. Kutasta, without being affected by anything. Atma, the Super Soul. Parameshti, the Supreme Lord. Ajaha, the Unborn. Mahan, the Great. Tvam, you. Jivalokasya, of this material world. Cha, also. Jivaha, the cause of life. Atma, the Super Soul. Translation, Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, your Lordship is eternally awake, seeing everything that happens. As eternal time, you reduce the duration of life for all living entities through your different parts, such as moments, seconds, minutes, and hours. Nonetheless, you are unchanged, resting in one place as the Super Soul, witness and the Supreme Lord, the birthless, all-pervading controller, who is the cause of life for all living entities. Please repeat, O my Lord, your Lordship is eternally awake, seeing everything that happens as eternal time. You reduce the duration of life for all living entities through your different parts, such as moments, seconds, minutes, and hours. Nonetheless, you are unchanged, resting in one place as the Supersoul, witness and Supreme Lord, the birthless, all-pervading controller, who is the cause of life for all living entities. Purport Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word kutastha is very important. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated everywhere, He is the central unchanging point. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridayase arjuna tisthati. The Lord is situated in full in the core of everyone's heart, as indicated in the Upanishads by the words ekatvam. Although there are millions and millions of living entities, the Lord is situated as the Supersoul in every one of them. Nonetheless, He is one in many. As stated in the Brahma-samhita, Advaitim-achyutim-anadim-anantarupam, He has many forms, yet they are all Advaita, one and unchanging. Since the Lord is all-pervading, He is also situated in eternal time. The living entities are described as parts and parcels of the Lord because He is the life and soul of all living entities, being situated within their hearts as the Antarjami, as enunciated by the philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference. Achinchabedabed. Since the living entities are part and part of the Lord, they are all one in quality with the Lord, yet they are different from Him. The Supersoul, who inspires all living entities to act, is one and changeless. There are varieties of subjects, objects, and activities, yet the Lord is one. Mukham karochi vachalam bhangam laite girim yat kripa tamaham vande shri gurun vimitarinam tvam eva kalo nimesha jananam ayo lava javyavyavayashinoshi kuta sta atma parameshti ajo mahans tvam jiva lokasya cha jiva atma. O my Lord, your Lordship is eternally awake, seeing everything that happens. As eternal time, you reduce the duration of life for all living entities through your different parts, such as moments, seconds, minutes, and hours. Nonetheless, you are unchanged, resting in one place as the Supersoul, witness and Supreme Lord, the birthless, all-pervading controller, who is the cause of life for all living entities. So this is Hiranyakashipu, of course. God bless him, such a nice person. He's offering prayers here to Lord Brahma. But Prabhupada interprets the praises as elucidation of the nature of the Supreme Lord. Very interesting. Of course, Lord Brahma, he is Shaktivesh avatar. There are different types of avatars. Shaktivesh means dressed in the Shakti of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Brahma is a guna avatar. Particularly, he is in control of the mode of passion in the material world. Also, he functions as the engineer of the material world. Ultimately, the Supreme Lord, of course, is the creator. But Prabhupada gives the example that just like if you want, say, a door made or a cabinet, you give the wood, nails and glue to an engineer or a carpenter and he constructs for you. So Lord Brahma is secondary creator in that way, but empowered by the Supreme Lord to rule over the universe, Lord Brahma, just like in our material body, we have, particularly the material mind, we have intelligence, and that governs our mind. The mind, the mental body, is composed of four items: the manas, the buddhi, the ahankara, and the chittam. The manas is the mind, that's like the container. The chittam is the water, the consciousness. So it is in the conditioned state that is called chittam. It is infected by the subtle effects of the three modes of material nature due to the enjoying nature, the polluted buddhi of the living entity. The buddhi pervades the consciousness by the governance of the Supreme Lord, just in the same way that if you put some sugar, say, in water, it will pervade the water itself. So the buddhi regulates the chittam within the manas, the container, and then the buddhi is affected by the ahankara. The ahankara is the false ego. Aham mameti. I think I'm this body. I think those things related to the body should be designated as mine. I'm the proprietor. And as I'm the owner and proprietor, I should enjoy those things. And I should expand those things. Just like Hiranyakashipu, he wants to expand. He doesn't want to just have a nice shirt and pants and a few good books. He wants to have the whole universe and all the living entities under his control. Earlier, he says that when the demigods actually were describing the mentality of Lord Brahma, of Hiranyakashipu, to Lord Brahma, they gave a discourse. He wants to be you. They were explaining his mentality. So this is very interesting. He's worshipping Lord Brahma, but he wants to be Lord Brahma. He wants to be free of the temporary fluctuations governed by moments, seconds, minutes and time. He wants to be immortal within the material world. Of course, the soul is eternal. The soul, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, is non-different from the Supreme Lord. Just in the same way that Lord Brahma is non-different from the Supreme Lord. But the difference is in quality, not as in quantity. Prabhupada used to say that this living entity is like a little sample of Krishna. Krishna is the sun, we are the particle of sunlight. Krishna is the mountain of gold, we are the particle of gold. So unfortunately, without devotion, the ego, under the influence of the false ego and the dissatisfaction of material entanglement and being controlled by kala, this is a very important point, we are always under control of kala, irrevocable time. This is the evidence of the absolute. Kalosmi aham, Krishna says in the Gita, I am time. So time governs everything. It is absolute. It is irreversible. People talk about time travel and this and that. If it had been achieved, it would be widely available. People would be popping back from the future and saying, hey, or something anyway. But time cannot be overcome because it's directly the potency of the Supreme Lord. And so it gives a hint of the absolute unconquerable nature of the Supreme Lord, because it is absolute and unconquerable. We may have our reaction to time. For example, in the evening time seems to go quicker. In the morning, or the morning hours, time seems to go more slowly. But that is our relative perception. But actually time is marching on in the material sphere without reference to our opinion. That is kuttastha. As Prabhupada says in the purport, the word kuttastha, changeless, is very important, Prabhupada says. He uses it in relationship to the Supersoul, who is the expansion of Krishna. So this effect of kala governs us. And to those who want to enjoy unlimitedly and expand their enjoyment, they, especially the demoniac Rakshasa type, whose rebellion against the supremacy of the Supreme Lord has gone to extraordinary lengths. And that is the Hiranyakashipu is the cipher for that. Sri Sri Gornitai, Krishna Balaram, Radhisham, Sunda, Lalit Vishaka, Giri Govardhan, Tulsi Maharani, Shalagram Maharaj, Gomata, Ki Jai. So for those that want to be free of all restraints in their self-service, service to themselves, time is a thief. Time is a challenge. Time is the Lord. So Hiranyakashipu, he wants to be immortal. He wants to be beyond the governance of time. But that is like saying you want to be beyond the governance of the Supreme Lord. But of course, Hritagyan, the demons, they have lost intelligence. Karma istaistya Hritagyana prapadyante niyadevata. Because of lust to enjoy, they have lost their intelligence. So their perception of these absolutes, even though Hiranyakashipu is giving all this elaboration of the potency of Lord Brahma, he does not want to recognize the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. And that is the root of the material conditioning. If you go to third canto, chapters 24, 25, Lord Kapila's teachings to his mother, Devahuti, you will find that the root of all the material covering is termed in Sanskrit, tamishra. Tamishra means anger or envy. It's a rebellion against the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. This in particular, that the Supreme Lord is supreme and I'm not. So that is the root. And then there are four other coverings that follow under tamishra. That means you lose your spiritual conception of your own self. And then tamas, you identify, having no spiritual conception, you identify yourself as a material product. I'm this material mind, this material body. Then you become illusioned by this ahankara effect. And then that's called moha. That's the fourth covering. And then the next one is mahamoha. Mahamoha, you become entangled in all the reactions. Because as soon as you leave the shelter of the Supreme Lord, through your anger you enter into the material energy, and under the false ego you claim the Supreme Lord's property as your own, you try to exploit it, and then under the governance of the Supersoul and the Supreme Lord, you become entangled in this action and reaction. So you still have this anger against the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, but now you're perceiving your anger against the Supreme Lord Of course, you're forgetful of the Supreme Lord, but the anger against being controlled is still there within the soul, so you're rebelling against the material circumstances, which is the secondary manifestation, if you like, of the Supreme Lord. Instead of directly anger towards the Supreme Lord, now your anger against His energy. Why do I have to die? Why do I have to become sick? Why do I have to become old? Why do I have to do all these things? Why am I under pressure? So now, Hiranyakashipu, because Hritagyan, he thinks Lord Brahma, he has attained his position because of sacrifices and austerities. And so I will also become like Lord Brahma through sacrifices and austerities. However, he misses the real point. Yes, Lord Brahma, and it's stated in the Shastra, Prabhupada quotes, that if you perform your material duties, your varnashram duties, in a devotional way for 100 births without imperfection, then you may attain the position of Lord Brahma in one of the many universes. But now, he is not seeing the real point, that through austerity and sacrifice and so on and meditation and yoga, that is not the final point. That is not why Lord Brahma attains his position in total. That is a way to evoke the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The final component in all activity, in all situation, is the mercy of the Supreme Lord, the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Now you may perform bhajan in this way and that way, you may worship this demigod and this and that, but ultimately those fruits, that's what Krishna says in the Gita, yes, they've lost their intelligence. I as the super soul, I make their faith solid so that they can worship the demigod. And then they get result. But Krishna says in the Gita, 7th chapter, verses 23. But the fruits, that section, but the fruits ultimately are bestowed by me alone. But you see, the demoniac, the rakshasa, passion and ignorance, they don't want to recognize this graceful position, this supreme position. So they're Hritagyan. So Hiranyakashipu has performed all this austerity thinking that that is the key to overcoming this material energy that pressures me, that controls me. Actually, Mukunda is the only person who will give you liberation. Actually, it is mentioned also in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita that Lord Shiva and Durga, they also can give liberation. They're non-different, like we say, from the Supreme Lord, Achinchabedabed. But Sanan Goswami, in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, he mentions that, and in his purport, he explains, but the Vaishnavas don't like to think like that. They like to think that Mukunda means the giver of liberation. But again, because of the attitude, the demon, they don't want to worship the absolute Supreme Lord. They don't want to come to the final point. They want to derive benefits from the demigods. And they see these, and they praise these demigods. But it is not bhajan. Bhajan is for Bhagavan. Bhagavan, bhakta, bhakti, bhava. These are all interwoven. These people are upashas. They are worshipping for some fruit. And it is no different than somebody gets a job in a factory and obeys the boss so he can get his salary. Only Hiranyakashipu, he's gone to the big boss, Lord Brahma. But he not only wants a salary, he wants the position. So it explains his envy, his antipathy to the very person that he's worshipping. Huh? Bhajan means that you, yes, you're offering flowers, performing austerities, akarji, chanting, going mangalati, studying shastra, but not for some fruit. That is the teaching of Lord Chaitanya. You're doing it so that Radha and Krishna can be pleased. That's the satisfaction. When Radha and Krishna are satisfied, when they're together, we're happy. That's our satisfaction. We're not asking any fruit. So that is bhajan. That is different from just approaching somebody and wanting some fruit. We want to give, not take. In fact, of course, the Goswamis have taught like that. Nectar of devotion. There's a competition between the Supreme Lord and his devotee. The devotee wants to give but not take. But the Supreme Lord wants to give to his devotee, but the devotee says no. There's many examples in the Shastra. So the devotee is Atmaram. But Hiranyakashipu embodies this. He's not Atmaram. He's not satisfied in himself. He's not satisfied in meditating on Kutastha. He's meditating on his own vacuous, empty nature. And he thinks that if I have the universe, it'll fill it all up. No. You can have every universe within the pradhan, within the virajā, within the causal ocean, under your control, and you'll still be vacuous. You'll still have an empty heart. And we see that in so-called material successful people. They have lots of money. They want more. What do they say? What's that saying? How much money is enough? A little more. So, this is the case with sense enjoyment. Because it's unsatisfactory and transient, this is the point also to be taken. Because it comes and goes, what to speak of when it's here, it's not satisfying, but it's ephemeral. It is part of the changing kaleidoscope. Because it is not permanent, it is unsatisfactory. And eventually this whole body, which is the object of our worship in the material world, that will be taken away. And we see, people get old, their bodies falling apart, but they still want to stay alive. They want to keep this face in the mirror. They don't want to lose a big bag of junk. Because that is their little territory. That is their realm of control through which they will enjoy. So that's why kutastha. And this is the first part of the verse. You are eternally awake, seeing everything that happens at eternally time. Reduce the duration of life for all living entities. So everything is controlled and owned by the Lord. What's that verse? Isha vasya idam sarvam yat kinchat jagajam jagat tena tak tena bunjita magrida kashasvit danam. Everything is controlled and owned by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, one should not desire things that are beyond one's quota, those things that come to oneself naturally through the course of time. Knowing well to whom they belong. One should not envy the possessions of other people. In fact, if we see the possessions of other people, their beauty, their intelligence, their knowledge, their renunciation, their wealth, as the gifts of the Supreme Lord, given by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, if we see those opulences, this is the point in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the opulences of the Absolute. In the 9th chapter, Krishna explains that all this energy is mine and you should become a devotee. But then in the 10th chapter, Krishna explains these opulences, you can see me in the material world through these opulences. What is the difference between energy and opulence? Just like You look at the sunset, that's the energy of the Supreme Lord. But there's an opulence there. What is that?
Beauty.
Yes, the beauty of the Supreme Lord. Look, it's magnificent. So, in Bhagavad Gita, it explains that Krishna explains that you should see that opulence in relationship to me. You should see me in the material energy through the opulences. He finishes the chapter, what's that verse? Yad yad vibhutimat satvam srimat urjitam evava tat tat evagachatvam masa tejo sambhavam. Good to have a pandit to help out. But what is the need of all this elaborate knowledge about my opulences? Know that with a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support the whole material universe. That's the ultimate absolute manifest within the material world, is the super soul. It's manifest because he's controlling everything. But you see the opulences, you see the control, and you see it in relationship to Krishna. But if you realize, the big problem is, envious of the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, we become envious of the opulences of other people. With a girl thinks, I'm very homely. Oh, I don't like that girl, she's beautiful. Oh, I only have 10 rupees and he has 100 rupees, I'm envious. People who are more opulent, we become, he has a big position, I'm nothing in this world. But if we see that those opulences of power, position, beauty, strength, they are bestowed by the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon that living entity, that they are manifestations of the beauty of the Supreme Lord Himself, of the power of the Supreme Lord Himself, of the fame of the Supreme Lord Himself, of the knowledge of the Supreme Lord, that He has given it, then we lose our envy if we have a little purity of heart. Because we see it. Krishna has given that person beauty, that person knowledge, from his own self. Just like the beauty, like we say, the sunset is very beautiful. We look at a flower and we think, it's so beautiful. We take the scent. What is that opulence? That opulence is a reflection or a gift bestowed by the Supreme Lord. It gives us an understanding of the Supreme Lord. And when we see it manifest in other people, we should understand Supreme Lord has bestowed that upon that person deservingly. And let them be happy. Then we can become free of matsarya, this tamishra, this rebelliousness. We see everyone is getting their just reward, and the opulence is manifest in the people and in the material nature. They are bestowed by that Supreme Lord according to His will. Therefore, if we are envious of somebody, he's more smart than me, she's more beautiful than me, all this and that. If we see in this way, we're envious, we're antipathetic to the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. We have to see the arrangement of the Supreme Lord as His pure judgment, and see those opulences as the gifts of the Supreme Lord, and use those opulences, as Krishna directs in the 10th chapter of Gita, to remind ourselves of that Supreme Lord. So of course, we want to, ultimately, Lord Chaitanya has come to give us access to the greatest opulence, the loving affairs of Radha Krishna in Golok, Namo Mahavananyaya. He's giving us that access. But we have to first see the Supreme Lord in our situation now, face to face. When we are purified of matsarya in this way, by seeing the opulences in relationship to the Supreme Lord and bestowed throughout all the people and energy of the Lord justly by the Supreme Lord, when we see in that way, then we lose our matsarya. This is also explained in Uddhava Gita, 29th chapter, 11th canto, that if you see the Supreme Lord within the heart of all living entities, then you will lose your envy. And the envy is keeping you in this material energy. In the spiritual energy, everyone is eternal, enlightened, joyous. But in the material energy, everyone is asat, temporary body, achit, illusory, niranand. Why? Because of that root. So the eradication of that, and then the application of bhajan, loving worship of Radha Krishna under Gornitai, then that will move us into the spiritual energy within our consciousness within this very life. We don't have to. Krishna, in the 8th chapter of the Gita, is called, Prabhupada translates, attaining the Supreme. So never in there does Krishna explain that you have to go to Golok. He says you will attain my abode, but he never says you attain me by going to Golok. Because, as is put here in this verse, Supreme Lord is 100% available here. He's not just in Golok. He's not just in Vaikuntha. There's one sloka like that. Where is he? Where my devotees gather together and discuss me with devotion. I come there and I listen in that place. Huh? Yes. So Krishna is attracted to his devotee. He's attracted to the devotee, and he doesn't care. From the point of view of the Supreme Lord, Golok, Gokul, the material world, Durga Dham, Hari Dham, Mahesh Dham, Golok, these four divisions, these four dhams explained in the Brahma Samhita, they're all his dham. They're all his dham. And they're all integrated in his leela. They all give wonderful backdrops and entertainment to the devotees and the Supreme Lord. They all give ecstatic bliss. It's not that when Krishna comes to the material world and he manifests his ras leela, it's not as good as in Golok. No, everywhere is the Supreme Lord's home. Yet, the other point big in this sloka is that he is changeless. Now this takes some contemplation, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, that yes, Supreme Lord, Super Soul, he is governing all these changes, particularly in the material world, but he himself is changeless. This is an important point. Anthropomorphism means that we try to understand the Supreme Lord in terms of our own self. Without knowledge, we'll think, oh, I go through changes, the Supreme Lord goes through changes. This idea is very nice to the idea of people like the demons, because they think, he's now Supreme God, but I will become the Supreme God. I'm the new Supreme God. I'm going to change things. Right? We already heard he wants to change impiety to piety and so on. The demons, they want to change the arrangement. But the Supreme Lord is changeless. His arrangement, his governorship is changeless. He himself is changeless. And yet at the same time, his nature and his beauty and his opulence is eternally expanding. So these points are very important to contemplate, because the problem in the material world, the problem for the sadhaka, is that he's involved in the change. His mind is taken up by all the changes. He doesn't like me, he's my friend, he's my enemy, what's happening, I'm getting old, I've lost my money, somebody took my tea light. He's preoccupied with all the changes, the flux, the kaleidoscope. But what does the Bhagavatam say? Param Satyam Dhimahi, right? That the devotee, he meditates on the Supreme Absolute Truth, Param Satyam Dhimahi. That is the direction. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Majaji Mam Namaskaro. So, the Kutastha, the changeless Supreme Lord, his changeless nature as distinct from the flux of the material energy which our mind and intelligence is entangled, that Supreme Lord, he should be the object of our concentration. That means for all living entities. When the mind and consciousness are fixed upon the Supreme Lord, Kutastha, then that is attaining the Supreme. Then one's Swarup manifests, one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord manifests, and it expands in ecstatic bliss eternally. 8:20, he says, once upon attaining me, no one returns to the material energy. This is very important. Also, in the Vedanta Sutra, it ends on this very point. There's four adiyas in the Vedanta Sutra. The fourth adiya is the condition of mukti. So there's description of the condition of mukti. And everyone should contemplate those points, because by contemplating these points, the changeless, the nature of the Supreme Lord, we qualify ourselves to enter that changeless atmosphere. And the Vedanta Sutra ends on this point. Once one attains the Supreme Lord, he never returns, he never returns, he never returns. That's how the Vedanta Sutra. So, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. If you want to become in Samadhi, perfectly always remembering the Supreme Lord through devotion, then you must practice Shravanam, hearing, Kirtanam. Especially in the period of sadhana. How do we tune into Kutastha, the changeless Supreme Lord? How do you plug a pen drive into a computer? What do you need? Or an external hard drive? You need a driver, right? A little sign will pop up. Your thing is now installed. It's called a driver, right? You buy some computer peripheral, you plug it in, and it needs a driver. The driver is the interface between that object and the computer. So what is the interface for the sadhaka between himself and Kutastha, the changeless Supreme Lord? What is the interface? Huh? Shravanam, yes, but what is Shravanam? Gives you bhakti jnana. It is knowledge of the Supreme Lord. Shravanam means to hear the Shastra, hear the holy name. So the interface, the driver between the conditioned living entity and the eternal liberated Lord is spiritual knowledge. Om Jnana Timarandasya Ganandana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. The spiritual master, the devotee, the Shiksha Guru, he gives the driver, he gives the knowledge, he gives the interface. And then you're linked with the Supreme Lord, and you will realize the Supreme Lord by his grace. Of course, we perform austerities and Naratam Das Thakur says, Kevalananda Kanda. In Kali Yuga, we can't do anything like this, Hiranyakashipu, but we can follow a codicil, follow regulative principles, hear regularly, become absorbed in Siddhanta, and then chant the holy name in ecstasy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We'll finish on that point. Good enough? Any question? We've got 2-3 minutes. Yes?
You mentioned the word ahankara.
Ahankara.
Perhaps it was in Sanskrit book that the etymological meaning of ahankara is divided into two words. One is abhyaham, the other one is kara. In other words, it comes out something like the ego maker. What is your comment on this?
Can you elucidate more clearly? I didn't quite catch your drift.
I was just saying that one time, perhaps in some Sanskrit book, it was explained that the word ahankara.
Who was explaining?
Sorry?
Who was explaining?
In some Sanskrit book.
Oh, some Sanskrit book.
Yeah.
So many, yeah, anyway. Yeah. So some Sanskrit book. Out there in the. Yeah, anyway.
So it was, it's divided into words aham and kara. Aham, we know, means ego, and kara perhaps means to do. So in other words, in English, it would come out as the ego doer, the ego maker.
Well, ahankara vibhudatma, Krishna says, right? Ahankara vibhudatma kartaham. So the ahankara thinks you're the doer, makes you think you're the doer. Actually, everything is being done by the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, he expands as the Chatur Vyuha in the spiritual world, and he governs thinking, feeling, and willing. He expands again in the material world, thinking, feeling, and willing. But the ahankara makes me think that I am independently thinking, feeling, and willing. You understand the point? I am the doer, ahankara. And these things related, and this body is me. Does that satisfy your point? Okay, go ahead.
Ahankara means aham, akara means shape. I am the form, this body. That is something is ahankara. This aham and akara, this shape. So I am the shape of me. That is something, the meaning of that exact word.
Yeah. So we got another pandit here. We're full of pandits. Yes, okay, thank you. Because I wasn't satisfied with my answer, actually, because it was really about the etymology of the word. Mm-hmm. Yes, so ahankara, say again, aham.
Aham is me and akara means shape.
So I'm this shape.
In living entity thinks that I'm the shape, I mean I am the one who is shape of mine, I'm the one who is one. It's not a shape.
You mean so?
He's nothing, but he's a part of between the Supreme Lord. He's there's nothing.
So I'm. So in spiritual life, we're not this shape. So next time I'm brushing my teeth before Mangalarti and I'm looking in the mirror, I think, I'm not this face. That's a great relief. Of course, my mother's happy with it. So I'm not this shape. That's what make a good t-shirt.
I'm talking about Atma. You see that I'm not Atma? Because in that Atma you're not body. You don't have any shape. But your body, you think you're shape?
No, we have a shape. Swarup. We have a spiritual form. We do have a form. But it's lying in seed form. Just like the tree is within the plant. We have Swarup. But it will develop from the seed of the soul. Through bhakti. So we have a shape, but it's not fully developed. Spiritual life means to develop your swarup. That'll happen at the stage of bhava bhakti, when you've overcome sadhana or restrictions. Yes, you have another question? Yeah.
With the spiritual master, that means we are sure and we are guaranteed that we are going back home. That's Once when we are connected with our spiritual master, then we can get going back on
the... Well, that's like saying, when I plug, if I'm connect, I'm a table fan and I'm plugged into the wall socket, I'm going to blow cooling air in the summer season. But you can become disconnected. The fan can become disconnected. So the connection to the spiritual master is his order. You understand? We're not, you know, sentimentalists. Oh, I've got a spiritual master, now everything's okay. Oh, I've taken Diksha, now everything is there. No. Diksha means initiation, means start. Diksha starts you in spiritual life, but then you have to practice Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. And if you can get a good Shiksha Guru to explain and the stages, then that's excellent. So the connection is by following the order. What did Prabhupada say? He quoted Vishwanath Chakravarti, the life and soul of the disciple is the order of the spiritual master. Prabhupada himself said, if you want success, you cannot deviate from the order of the spiritual master by 1 inch. Then 16:23 Bhagavad Gita, Yukshastra Ustrischa, right? Somebody who gives up the Shastra, the spirit, bona fide spiritual master, he manifests the import of the Shastra to the disciple. Then Krishna says, na sukam na param gatim, na sukam na param gatim, na siddhim. Yeah. You don't get perfection, you don't get the supreme goal, you don't get happiness, if you give up the spiritual master. Also, Prabhupada said, satisfaction of the bona fide spiritual master is the secret of success in spiritual life. So therefore, yes, we're performing the bhajan of Radha Krishna Gaur Nitai Krishna Balaram under the guidance, under the order of the spiritual master. And Guru Krishna Prashadi, by pleasing the bona fide spiritual master, by satisfying him, then Krishna is automatically pleased. But if you go to Supreme Lord without spiritual master, without following his instruction, a good one, properly, then you will make progress, but very difficult. Just like if you want to learn the piano, what's the secret of success? Tell me. A good piano teacher, right? If you think, I don't need to listen to Beethoven, I'll use the piano as I like, then everybody will be leaving the room. No, you have to follow Guru Sadhu Shastra. You have to, they are three. Then you remain connected. You understand? So that's the meditation of the sadhaka, the satisfaction of the spiritual master. And then he knows, Krishna's pleased. So we finish on that point? One more time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita, Sadhu Sangha, Vrindavan, Dhamma Ki. Yeah.